The epistle for the third Sunday of Lent is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 5. Brethren, be followers of God as most dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath delivered himself for us, an oblation and a sacrifice to God for an odor of sweetness. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not so much as be named among you as becometh saints. Nor obscenity, nor foolish talking, nor scurrility, which is to no purpose, but rather giving of thanks. For know ye this, and understand, that no fornicator, nor unclean, nor covetous person, which is a serving of idols, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the anger of God upon the children of unbelief. Be ye not therefore partakers with them, for you were heretofore darkness, but now light in the Lord. Walk then as children of the light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and justice and truth, and the Holy Gospel. Is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 11. At that time, Jesus was casting out a devil, and the same was dumb. And when he had cast out the devil, the dumb spoke, and the multitudes were in admiration at it. But some of them said, "He casteth out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils." And others tempting asked of him a sign from heaven. But he, seeing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself shall be brought to desolation, and house upon house shall fall. And if Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that through Beelzebub I cast out devils. Now if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, doubtless the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his court, those things which he possesseth are in peace. But if a stronger than he come upon him and overcome him, he will take away all his armor wherein he trusted, and will distribute his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through places without water, seeking rest, and not finding, he saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he has come, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then he goeth and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and entering in, they dwell there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spoke these things, a certain woman from the crowd, lifting up her voice, said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore thee, and the paps that gave thee suck. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Thank you. was casting out a devil, and the same was dumb. And when he had cast out the devil, the dumb spoke. These words are taken from today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. One spring morning, a certain woman named Martha was on her way to see her doctor. For many weeks, she had been bothered by a pain which would not go away. And so at last, she determined to go see her doctor. And when she arrived at the doctor's office, Martha took the last vacant chair. She sat for quite some time before her name was eventually called. And while she waited, she was tempted to make some excuse to cancel her appointment. For the longer she waited, the less she wanted to see the doctor. As she sat there, she told herself it's probably not that big of a deal. She even got to the point where she tried to convince herself that since she had been waiting for an interminably long period of time, that her pain left. And as her thoughts kept turning, she eventually decided to only tell the doctor that she was tired and often had a headache. At this point, she really didn't want to tell the doctor her real symptoms. And this despite the fact that she knew that he was a very good doctor, which is why and what led her to him in the first place. She actually believed her doctor would be able to help her, but she didn't feel like she could tell him her problems. Truth of the matter was, she was afraid of what the doctor might tell her. And as she was sitting there rehearsing how she might avoid the truth, she heard the nurse call out her name. And so she followed the nurse into the doctor's office. And the doctor leaned back in his chair and looked at her. And he asked, "Aren't you losing a little weight?" She said, "Oh, just a pound or two. Nothing to bother about. I've just finished spring cleaning, and I'm a little tired, that's all." "Well," he said, "are you sure that's all?" Martha again assured him there was nothing else the matter. And at the same time, she couldn't help but be impressed by her doctor's genuine interest in her. The doctor went on to say, "Well, if that's all, I'll give you something that should help you." And he wrote out a prescription for her. And so Martha left the doctor's office virtually no better off than when she had come in. A few months later, Martha was rushed to the hospital, but it was too late. By that time, cancer, like a hidden enemy, had spread through her entire body. My dear friends, in today's gospel, we read the evangelist St. Luke's account of our Lord exercising a man possessed by the devil. The other evangelist, St. Matthew, also records this exorcism. But St. Matthew adds that this demoniac was not only dumb, but that he was also blind. This poor man possessed by the devil was neither able to speak, nor was he able to see. But not always had he been speechless and blind. He was not born blind and dumb. Rather, when the devil took possession of him, he also took away his ability to both see and speak. St. John Chrysostom comments on this passage of Scripture, and he says, "O pestiferous craft of the devil, he seized upon and obstructed both the ways by which man might believe, that is, by sight and hearing. If he could talk, he would have. If he could see, he would have. But the devil prevented him because he possessed him." This poor man was literally helpless. And our Lord, in his infinite mercy and kindness, exorcised the man. St. Jerome, in his commentary, says that in this one man, three signs were worked at one and the same time. The blind man sees, the dumb man speaks, and the man possessed by devils is delivered. But dear friends, at times we too can be blind to the truths of the faith. Or we can imitate him by being speechless in the confession of our sins. According to Cornelius, the devil makes men dumb lest they should confess their sins and expel the poison which deadens their soul. Interesting commentary by St. Bernard of Clairvaux, who says, "Why art thou ashamed to speak of thy sin when thou wast not ashamed to do it? Or why dost thou blush to confess to God from whose eyes thou canst not be hid?" It continues, "And if thou art so grievously ashamed to confess thy sin to one man, a sinner himself, what wilt thou do in the day of judgment when thy consciousness of guilt will be exposed to all men?" It helps to put things into perspective. As painful and as horrible being physically blind, that cross, it in no way compares to spiritual blindness. In no way. If a person loses their spiritual sight, which happens in varying degrees, a person's intellect becomes darkened so that it becomes increasingly more difficult to discern between good and evil. It is with this intention that the devil summons his strength to make us spiritually blind. St. Alphonsus says that every sin produces blindness. And as sin increases, so too does the sinner's blindness increase. This is why he says that relapsing sinners lose all light and go from sin to sin without even thinking of amendment. Hence the importance of asking God every day of our lives for the grace to enlighten our minds. If we can't see the evil of sin, then we will not avoid it. How thankful we ought to be to our divine Savior for his institution of the second plank after shipwreck, the powerful and merciful sacrament of penance. Our Lord himself said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you." Our good shepherd has also said, "There will be joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, more than over 99 just who need not penance." Had Martha in the story revealed truthfully, honestly, simply, confidently, her symptoms to her doctor, she would have received a correct diagnosis by her doctor. And most probably, her life would have been prolonged. Unfortunately, she allowed her intellect to become clouded by the passion of fear. Fear overtook her, and her mind became darkened because she allowed fear to get the better of her, to the point that she refused to tell her doctor the truth, and thus, receiving no help, she fell victim to her disease. May we, my dear friends, be unlike Martha, but always strive for clarity with our spiritual doctor, that is, with the priest, in the confessional. To be straightforward and honest, knowing that it is to Christ himself that we confess, the priest being his representative. When we have the misfortune to fall into sin, may we have the courage to honestly and clearly confess them. For the priest is another Christ, and he sits in the confessional in the place of Christ, like a good doctor waiting to help us. The Sacred Heart of Jesus, never forget, is ever ready to restore sanctifying grace to the soul. Just as he restored sight and speech to the man possessed by the devil. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.